The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now we're going to be talking about a heartbreaking story of filicide, the potential risks of powerful antidepressants, and unforgiving justice with respect to crimes involving mental illness. Here to tell us about his book, Medication, Mental Illness and Murder, What Really Killed the Crespi Twins, welcome to the show, Edward L. Jones.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on.
I want to ask you two questions first of all, Edward. Filicide, that's when a parent kills their own child, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Sadly. And who were the Crespi twins then? What's the story?
Yes, the Crespi twins were five-year-old girls, to Sarah and Samantha. And the story kind of came to me. I didn't go looking for it. Here's kind of how it all came about. In November of 2005, my wife and I were just getting to know Kim Crespi and David Crespi. And right around Christmas time, we got word that David, a highly successful banker, a model husband, father, was suffering from depression. And By that time, I had kind of punched my way through three bouts of clinical depression myself. So I asked my wife to tell Kim to tell David that if he needed somebody to be by his side, I'd be there yesterday. You know, anybody out there listening to this who has never suffered from depression, it is agony on multiple levels, even physical. So anyway, we got word back from Kim that David had suffered from depression previously, a couple of bouts, and they felt like he was getting the best treatment he had ever gotten for it. So, so we thought everything was going to be fine. And then on January 20th, 2006, we got a phone call that David, who was home on medical leave because of his depression, he was at home with Kim and their beautiful twin daughters. We got word that when Kim went out to get a haircut, David stabbed his twin daughters to death. Wow. and then called 911. And that call is very telling. He just first says, I just killed my two daughters. Kind of like he's in a zone, some kind of zone, you know, I just killed my two daughters. And, pretty quickly a female 911 operator cut in and said, sir, are you on any medications? And he said, yes. What kind of medications? She asked. Antidepressants. And then she said, we're just a little worried that you've taken too many medications. So that 911 call was suppressed and was not released until almost 3 months after David was sentenced to two consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole.
Wow. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And as you say, I mean, he had a good job. He had a nice house. Everything was great, like living the American dream. Have you spoke to him since? We'll get onto the medication, which sounds like it could have been the issue, but did he know what he was doing at the time?
Oh, I absolutely not. Here's something that is very important to share with you and your listeners. 15 hours before he killed his twin daughters, he was playing a board game with his wife and those all five of his children. He had three other children, so five children, playing a board game. And he started pacing around the house restlessly, going from room to room, coming back to the board game. And then Kim told me that later he was jumping in and out of their bed erratically and walking. There's a four-cornered rug beside their bed, and he was going around and like almost manically going from corner to corner to corner. So anyway, what that was a glaring signal that David was experiencing a side effect, a dangerous side effect of SSRI antidepressants called akathisia. Akathisia is Greek, and it means the inability to sit still. If they had known, and it is a signal, it should be a signal to anybody that observes somebody with this kind of behavior, that that person is in danger of either harming his or herself or others. And so they had no clue what akathisia was. If they had known, those two little girls might still be alive today. Why didn't they know about that side effect? Because the pharmaceutical giants who make these drugs had for years covered up clinical trial data that showed in a fairly significant percentage of trial patients, akathisia was a side effect.
Wow. Was this a new medication that he was recently on? Is that why it suddenly happened?
That's a great question. Yeah, he had just started Prozac 7 days before. He was also on a cocktail of other drugs, including Ambien and Trazodone. And then they had switched him from Ambien to Lunesta the day before the killings.
So it wasn't, I mean, I know a lot of people do take Prozac, for example, is quite widely known. Was it not just one of the medications, but a combination of all three that he was taking?
It's pretty conclusive that it was the Prozac that was the problem. And there's just multiple cases in my book where Prozac is tied to horrific acts of violence in rare cases. Now, these are rare cases, but a significant number of killings and suicides are tied to that drug.
I suppose, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm somebody that's been on Prozac for over 35 years and mm-hmm. it's done nothing but help me. But I suppose, mm-hmm. like you say, in these rare cases, and it only takes one terrible case like this to just be absolutely awful. Should his GP have known? I mean, how would somebody know that it was going to affect him that way?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, part of the problem, I think, in his case was something called polypharmacy, where I think his doctor was prescribing one thing, his psychiatrist was prescribing another. For instance, it later came out that another medication that was in the mix was clarithromycin. I was telling my personal physician about this case, and he just sat right up and he said, you know, his doctor or somebody should have known that combining Prozac and clarithromycin is like a combustible mixture. I mean, you're just, and I looked that up, and it's in the book. It causes delusions and all kinds of things like that. So, yeah.
It's frightening, isn't it? It's frightening, and it's so sad. Do you think that GPs and possibly psychiatrists are giving out antidepressants too easily nowadays?
Absolutely, absolutely. Particularly to adolescents and children, which is particularly dangerous. And I get into a pretty famous study among some that involved GlaxoSmithKline and Paxil. So if I could just kind of tell you about that a little bit. And the title of this was a clinical trial that was titled Study 329, the most comprehensive clinical study ever conducted on the effects of an SSRI on adolescents. Mm. Thanks to a whistleblower, GlaxoSmithKline, which is headquartered in Britain, was caught red-handed in burying data which indicated that Paxil caused suicidality in an alarming percentage of adolescent patients. The U.S. Department of Justice charged GSK with failing to report safety data. This is like fraudulent concealment is what it really is. And in 2012, GlaxoSmithKline pleaded guilty and paid a $3 billion settlement, including a criminal fine of $1 billion. Now, you think that that would have an effect on sales for GlaxoSmithKline, both in the short and long term? Not at all. And this is an alarming statistic to me. Between 2016 and 2022, the monthly dispensing rates of antidepressants in the United States increased by 66.3% for 12 to 25-year-olds. Among 12 to 17-year-old females, the dispensing rate increased by 130%.
Wow, that is alarming. They're alarming figures. It's frightening, and I don't think personally that adolescents should be given them, because in my mind, their brain is still forming. They're still growing up. They're going through hormonal changes. I don't think they should be given out like candy to adolescents.
That's exactly right. And, you know, to your point about how you've been able to tolerate Prozac, and there, you know, most people have been able to tolerate that. There are studies that say that many people do not have the array of enzymes in their livers to properly destroy SSRI drugs when they get in the bloodstream. So the drugs pass through the liver and they don't get metabolized in some other people, meaning they don't get broken down. So some people might get the equivalent of a 10 milligram dose of an SSRI, but the blood level is like 30 to 40. So a lot of this has to do with DNA.
Yeah. And I just know from many years of trying desperately to come off them, because I didn't want to still be on them 35 plus years later. But yes, the fours for me outweighed the against, you know what I mean? I tried everything. I tried weaning myself off them for years, but coming off them wasn't good for me. And something else that happened, and again, I suppose this is down to the pharmaceutical industry. I once tried to come off them, and as I was weaning myself off them, I decided to try St. John's Wort because I was starting to feel quite depressed again. St. John's mm-hmm. Wort is sold as something natural, and it completely messed me up. I ended up hospitalised. I remember...
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I remember my mum looking on the internet, and it says St. John's Wort, can, if mixed with proper antidepressants, can cause suicidal tendencies. So, you know, there should be more out there. It's a dangerous game.
So true. Yes, your experience with trying to withdraw is not uncommon at all. There is a gentleman named Dr. Mark Horowitz, and he is associated with a study, an Uber study that was done in London, University College London. And he did this study in conjunction with Joanna Moncrief. And so that was an Uber study of, and basically it just took clinical trial data from years and years, tens of thousands of patients. And what it really ended up concluding is that depression is definitely not caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain. Essentially, these SSRI antidepressants are no more effective at ameliorating the symptoms of depression than a sugar pill. That is, their basic effect is the placebo effect. And unlike a sugar pill, they have potentially dangerous side effects. So going back to Dr. Mark Horowitz, he had been on Lexapro, and for years, he tried coming off them, you know, fairly quickly, and he almost committed suicide and did some other crazy things. And he is still struggling to get off the last milligram of them. He takes it in eyedroppers, and I heard him on a podcast, and he said that getting you know, off the last milligram or two is the hardest, you know, because, you know, your mind is kind of addicted. Your brain is kind of addicted to these things. They're almost semi-amphetamines, you know. And so coming off them can cause terrible sadness. And if anybody listening to this is taking an SSRI antidepressant and you're tolerating them well, don't do anything rash. You know, if you decide to withdraw, do it in conjunction with a, you know, your doctor, and very carefully, because the dangers of the of these drugs are in three different stages. A, when you first start them. B, when the dosage is changed along the way. And C, when you're trying to come off them.
Yeah, good advice. I'll actually look up Dr. Mark Horowitz. I find that fascinating. So I'll have a look at that myself. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Far as the sad case of the Crespi twins is concerned, did David go to prison or did he go to a psychiatric unit?
Yeah, you kind of wish that he could have gone to a decent psychiatric unit, but yeah. In North Carolina and throughout the states, probably in North Carolina at that time in particular, it was said that if you were not insane going into one of the mental health institutions in North Carolina, they would make you insane. Mm-hmm. So the lawyers faced terrible kind of dilemma. The prosecution wanted to levy the death penalty against David, and one of the lawyers had lost a death penalty case to the prosecutor. His client was actually executed. So it was a choice between going forward with a trial, you know, where the death penalty would be on the table, or taking a plea and going to prison, where ironically, you know, it's said that prisons have a little better mental health care than the mental health facilities in at least back then in North Carolina.
Yeah. Did Kim stand by him?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My book interweaves the spine of the book is really her journal entries, which will break your heart and inspire you at the same time. Oh yes, she forgave him. In fact, I went to the Superior Court hearing about the case, and at the very end, the defense lawyer asked her, "Do you still love David and forgive him?" And she said, "You don't stop loving someone when they're sick."
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. And he's, I'm sure, suffering himself for what he did, you know, as well as being in prison and obviously having to serve a sentence, but he's suffering himself because of what he did. And if you're ill, you're ill.
That's right. Yes, he went through withdrawal and lashed out and did some things he regrets, but he has been off of all medications since 2008. And he of course has a terrible remorse. He has only one offense in 19 years on his record, and that is because he held on to a rosary that a priest gave him when the priest came to visit him. And there's a scene in my book where, and he told me about this, a couple of months after he killed the girls, a priest came to the prison and he was there to witness an execution, unfortunately. And then somebody connected the priest with David. And so David, it was the first time David was able ever to cry. And so he was, the priest heard David's confession, and at the end of the confession, the priest said, "Dave, my child, this was not a mortal sin. You were out of your mind. your sins are forgiven.
Oh, that must have helped him. That must have helped him. Will he ever be released?
Great question. There is a very powerful lawyer who has pledged to work pro bono to get to work on that. I can't go into too many details, but
I understand.
Yeah, there's a glimmer of hope, but you know, here in the States, you know, I think we're better at punishment than mercy, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a very sad story, but an important one to read, I feel. It's called Medication, Mental Illness and Murder, What Really Killed the Crespi Twins, and it's by Edward L. Jones, who we're chatting to now. Is this your first book, Edward?
It is indeed.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations. Well, I'll certainly be reading it, and I'll look up Dr. Mark Horowitz, but thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It was an honor. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.